Yudzayinam and Aleph. The two dots are approximately, I would say, 15 lines down from the top, a little bit less. And we're up to Ve'idach. And again, we're still trying to calculate the Yudches Gzeres, how we get to the number 18. And eventually, at the end of this sugya, which is coming up shortly, we'll see the entire list of 18 Emirtz Hashem. Ve'idach, an additional case of the Gzera, this comes from the Brisa, and we're talking about a liquid, in this case, wine, which is one of the seven liquids that is machshel kabel tumah. So let's say you have wine that comes out onto the grapes. And then, for example, sherets would fall on the grapes. So we're talking about a case of botzer legat. And gat is the place where they do the dricha, they crush the grapes to form wine. And now he does a betzira. He harvests his grapes from the vine for the purpose of crushing them and making wine. However, in this particular case, some of the wine was collected in a utensil, and it wasn't yet, you know, subject to the gat. So we're not yet deliberately crushing and extracting the wine from the grapes. At this point, there's some wine that came out of the grapes, and there's no intention to use this wine. It's holech, what's called holech li'ibud. Ishamay omer huchshar, hil omer lo huchshar. We have a din, and we can understand Beis Hillel in this context, that ochlin are not makabel tumah without hechsher, and we need what's called nafal aleim beratzon bailim, that one of the seven mashkim fell onto a fruit or a vegetable beratzon bailim, with the will of the owner, and these seven include tal, shemen, yayin, dam, cholav, udvash. So we have a case where a liquid fell deliberately, miratzon bailim, onto a fruit, and even if he dries it off, nevertheless, the fruit is now mukhsha lekabel tumah. In the case of botzer anovim, there's no hechsher of the anov lekabel tumah, because the mashke is holech li'ibud. Or perhaps it didn't even fall on the mashke. But comes along Beit Shammai with a gzera, and they institute a status of hechshel kabel tumah with regard to this yayin that is holech li'ibud. Omelo hil Beit Shammai, l'shammai, mipnei ma botzrim betara. Why is it that the grapes that you require to do the vitzira betara, in other words, in kelim tahorim? And the reason for that is because you want to make sure that there shouldn't be kabbalas tumah. So the grapes have to go into pure utensils. But yet, v'ein, you don't have the same standard, the same requirement with regard to olives, moskim betara. You're not makbid that the kelim be kelim tahorim. What is the difference here between these two mashkim? We have on our list shemen, we have on our list yayin. In the case of yayin, you were very, very careful, and you wanted to make sure that any betzira, any harvest of the grapes would be done in kelim tahorim, so there wouldn't be mekabel tumah from the kelim afterwards huksha from the mashke, and you don't have a parallel requirement in the case of zesim, of shemen, which is called mesika. What is the difference between the mashke that comes out of grapes at the time of harvesting, at time betzira, which is maksha the grapes, the kabel tumah, in contrast to the mashke that comes out of the olives at the time of mesika, and that's not maksha the kabel tumah? And as we said before, shemen zayis is one of the seven mashkim that a maksha and ochel to be makabel tumah. So Shammai had a very sharp answer here. You know, the language is a little bit stepped up, if you will. And he says to Hillel, Im takniteni, if you're going to push me, on this analogy between grapes and olive, goes Rani Tuma Af Al Hamasika. If you continue barraging me with these questions, at the end of the day, I am going to extend the Gzera to include Zesim as well. Now, what does Shammai have in mind here with that statement? For sure, he didn't mean, his kavanah was not to be gozer on Masika because the people in Hillel's camp were pressing him and barraging him with questions. But rather, Shammai and Hillel went back and forth with a dialogue on this issue. And Hillel asked a bunch of questions and raised a bunch of objections to Shammai until the point in which Shammai could not come up with a clear distinction between Betzira in the case of Yayin and Masika in the case of Shemen Zayis. But nevertheless, Beit Shammai didn't want to equate the two, and he didn't want to insist on a Chumra that applies to Betzira and extend it to the case of Masika. Lo rotza l'hashvos beinehem, and he didn't want to go in the direction of being mekil on Betzira. And now, if you're going to force him to come up with a uniform halacha that applies equally to both Yayin and Shemen, then he's going to have to say that both are hukshar l'kabel tumah, because Beis Shammai was absolutely convinced that this gzera should apply in the case of Betzira of Yayin. So therefore, Shammai said to Hillel, if, as you would have it, there's no distinction between Betzira of Yayin in Anovim and Masika of Shemen Zayis, then I'm going to have to be machmir, and even Masika is going to require absolute tara, because there's some amount of Shemen that falls, although again it's Shemen Holech Libud, on the Zesim, and therefore we're going to have to say that we must have absolute tara. We have to make sure that the Kalim are Kalim Tahorim. Now, there's a Tosus here, Divra Maskil Gozrani, and Tosus says that the reason why they didn't make a Gzera, Shammai didn't make the Gzera Masika, is because the different reasons for this Gzera, which the Gemara is going to quote in a minute, don't apply in the case of Zesim. The Moal, the juices that come at the time of Masika, are not really considered a Mashke. That's not the real oil that comes out of the olives, and therefore it wouldn't be mukshar lekabel tuma, even if he would be mosek in what we'll see in a minute is called kupos mizufafos. And I think you may recall that we mentioned this in the past. Kupos mizufafos are where the liquids that collect in such containers will not go leibud. So even though the mashke will remain inside these kupos at the time of Masika, nevertheless it still would not be machshir the zesim, because the real makoy liquids, the kishkis of the zesim, is not coming out at this point. Natsu, let's go back to the Gemara. Natsu, the Brisa says, cherev bebeis hamedrish, and that act of natsu means that no one leaves. You know, the walls are closed, so to speak. You can't leave the basement. Just v'yomru. Ha'nichnas yikonis. Anyone wants to come in, that's fine. But ha'yotze al yetze. No one's allowed to leave because they wanted to have an amidah l'minyan, take a vote, and finally come to some conclusion on halacha. And the Yerushalmi writes that Talmidei Beit Shammai omdu lahem milamata v'yu hargin mitalmidei Beis Hillel. Now, I don't know if you take this literally, but basically, there was a push here, with a big political rally here, with threats and so forth, to make sure that no one would leave, and there would be a final decision. And it could be that the Talmidim that were Mishamish in front of Hillel were Merubin from the Talmidim that were Mishamish in front of Shammai, but nevertheless, the Talmidim of Beis Hillel began to agree to the logic of Beit Shammai. And they began to sort of cross cross teams, and they joined the team of the Talmidei Beit Shammai. So the Talmidei Beis Hillel didn't want to be Omid Leminyan, because they knew if they would come to a vote, then the final decision would be against Hillel. And they didn't want to tolerate a situation of Bittul Das Hillel. So they tried to squeeze their way out, Lihishamet and Lolecheslem, so that they wouldn't be included and they wouldn't be able to have this vote. So the Talmidim Beit Shammai got up with spears in their hands, and they didn't let them go out. And six of the most significant of all the Talmidim, Olul Makom, they stood up where the Talmidim of Beis Hillel were gathering together, and they presented their logic so that the Talmidim of Beis Hillel would agree, and that's how they got to the point of Rabu Beit Shammai al Beis Hillel. There were more in the camp of Beit Shammai than in that of Beis Hillel. The Osayom, there was a terrible embarrassment here. Hoya Hillel, the great Hillel, was Kofuf. He was like obedient, V'yoshev, and he was sitting with Neshamai, Ke'echad min ha-Talmid. And this was a Prisus HaKavod in Hillel on that very day when they took the vote. V'yakoshel Yisrael was a difficult day for the people of Israel, Ki'yom Shenasebo Egel, like the day of the Egel, because Hillel was the Nasi. He was the head of the entire Jewish community, but yet he was an Anav. He was a great, humble person. Now, the Chasam Sofer adds a word over here. What's the connection between Maisa Egel and this, shall we call it, Priest's Covet of Hillel, because of Hillel's Anvenuso? And the answer is, let's go back to Aaron HaKohen. At the time of Aaron HaKohen, the Jewish people refused to accept the view of Aaron at the time of the Chet HaEgel. And this was a reflection of Aaron's great anov, his great humility. And of course, of the kashis oref of those who stood against him. Here too, there was no respect for the anvenuso, not of Aaron, in this case of Hillel, despite the fact that he was the Nasi, and his great anov was such that he didn't respond. He just sat there like a Talmud. And this was a result of the kashis oref of those who stood against him. And they did so for the glory of their Rebbe Shammai. The Gozer Shammai VeHillel. Now, at that particular time, with regard to the anovim, the grapes that had this wine on it, that was a Yain Sholech LeIbud, and the Gzeru was going to be instituted that the Yain will be a machshir, be considered one of the seven machshir to be machshir the anovim, the grapes, to be makabel tuma. That's why it's so critical to get the kelim tahorim. So although there was a final consent and agreement of both Shammai and Hillel, but nevertheless, lo kiblu minayhu, the Talmidim did not accept the gzera. However, asu Talmidayhu, the Talmidim in the next, the next link in the chain of Beit Shammai Beis Hillel, Gazur, they themselves came to a conclusion that this gzera was important, and the kiblu minayhu, and then the gzera spread, it was accepted, and this is another gzera to be included on the list of the 18 gzeros. Gemara says, my timer. What's the reason that these anovim are huchshel kabel tuma in case of a machshir, of a mashke that's holichli ibud? Amar ze'iri, amar abchanin, gzer shem yivtzerenu bekupos tmeos. We're afraid that maybe, perhaps, he will do the betzira, in which case the grapes will be dropped into or placed into vessels that are tmeos. Now, if they did so, if they would put it into kupos tmeos, shebohem gam mashke sholech li'ibud machshir. Why? Because it immediately, when this liquid hits the bottom of these kupos, which are tmeos, with that maga, with that contact, the anovim will become tome. So again, in the case of botzel legat, lav dafka, or even the case, let's say, of botzel achila or botzel litzimukim, if the kupos are tmeos, then it's hukshel kabel tuma. So Gemara says, "Honi chalaman diomer." That's good according to the man diomer. This is a tosefta in Machshirim, the second perek, that records a machlokas regarding kli tomei choshev mashkin. One man diomer says the very minute mashkim go into a kli tomei, then choshev mashkin. I would offer the following translation, if I could, to the word choshev here in this case. Choshev means to transform, or perhaps to upgrade, or to generate a chaloshem. In the case of mashkim, which are holchim li'ibud, they don't have chashivus, but once you put them into the kelim tmeim, that gives chashivus to the mashkim, and therefore they have a koch to be machshel kabel tuma. Shaper, if that be the case, we understand the gzera of botzer legat to consider the yain that comes out of the anovim to be machshel the anovim lekabel tuma, because we have to be afraid that perhaps he will do the harvesting of the grapes into kupos tmeos, and then the mashkim in any event will be muchshel lekabel tuma, and the anovim therefore will be muchshel lekabel tuma. It's going to be a situation in which the kalim themselves, if they're tmeim, would certainly be metami the anovim and the ayin within. And that's called klitome choshev mashkin. Klitome makes the mashkin, no matter in what circumstance, into a mashke, and therefore it's machshel kabel tuma. El Mandiyom Rabbi Yossi disagrees in the Tosefta. And he holds ein kli tomei choshev mashkin. He never accepted this principle that machshim become a machshir lekabel tuma. It's the machshim les ochel lekabel tuma, just because they were placed into a kli tomei. Is Michael and Meimar? Once again, we go back to the drawing board. Let's try to understand. In the case of betziras hakerem, even if he does it in kupos tmeos, so what? The mashke is not mukshel, it should not be a machshel lekabel tuma, because it's holich le'ibud. El Omer Ziri, Omer Abchanina, the Gemara goes back now to a different explanation. He says, Gzeira shem yivtzerenu bekupos mizu fafos. They had certain utensils, some barrels and so forth, which they used to line. The inside of the barrel was lined with pitch. That's called zephes. And the reason for that is they wanted to seal tight the mashkin inside these barrels. And here the halacha is that since this mashkin is no longer going to be holech li'ibud, because it's now being trapped and sealed deliberately in these kelim, which are mizufafim, therefore these kupos mizufafos make the juice, the wine that comes out of these anovim, a full-fledged shem yayin as a mashke, a machshir, to be mekabel tuma. The anovim now are muksharim lekabel tuma. So now we're postulating that the gzera in the case of holech li'ibud, meaning in the case of botzer legat, is because we might came to a case where he puts the liquids together with the grapes into kupos mizufafos. Rav Amar, and now take a look, we're about five lines up from the bottom of the Amud, six lines up. Rav Amar, gzeira mishum hanoshchos. Noshchos means that there are certain clusters of grapes that touch each other, they are connected to each other, and when he does the betzira to harvest this vine, he separates these clusters one from the other, and against his will, the mashke, the liquid, starts coming out of them, out of these clusters of grapes. And now he's doing it by a dayim. He's literally squeezing the grapes Again, that's not his main intention here, but that's in effect what's happening here. And if we know for sure that the mashke is going to come out because of his act of noshchos, noshchos meaning that he's b'yadayim, he's separating one eshkol from the other, and that's going to squeeze out some wine. Again, we have to orchestrate this with a vision. We need here a pirush chai, but in any event, the way he separates the noshchos, these two clusters of grapes that are touching each other and they're intertwined, when it gets separated, so the mashke comes out. There's some measure or volume of liquid, of wine, that comes out of these grapes. And now he's doing it b'yadayim. He's physically taking the yayin out of the grapes. And in such a case, certainly the yayin gets a shem yayin as far as the dinim of the machshirin are concerned, and the yayin is going to be machshir the anovim. Rav Nachman Omar, a different explanation in the name of Rabba Baravua. Pa'amim sha'adam holech lecharmo, leidaim higia hanovim libitzira olo, v'notel eshkol anovim lisochato, u'mezalef al gabi hanovim, b'shas bitzira, adayin mashke tofech aleihem. So now we get to the shita of Rabba Bar Avua. A person goes to his vineyard and he's checking to see if the grapes have completely ripened and therefore they're roy, that it's ready for Betzira. Well, maybe it's not ripe yet. So what does he do? Notel, he takes one cluster of grapes in order to squeeze it and check and see if you can make yayin out of that cluster of grapes. Umezalev, and the liquids that come out of that, he is mezalev. Mezalev means to sort of drop them in a very powerful way, like with a kind of impetus, a kind of force, a kind of push. Al-Gabi Gecholim, and he has Al-Gabi, I'm sorry, Adnovim, my mistake. U'bishas b'tzira adayin mashke tofech aleihem. The rabbi is pointing out that there is a scenario in which a person will deliberately squeeze the grapes in such a way that he gets the yayin out of the grapes, and whatever he squeezes from these grapes fall onto the other grapes, which are connected because he's trying to separate them. They are what we call what was the word that we used? Just 1 second, mechubarim, right? The anovam mechubarim. And what happens is that during this period of time of Betzira, when he's harvesting the grapes and the vines, there's still mashka, still liquids coming out over the grapes. And now we're faced with a case of mashka shiyotze l'ratzon, where he's doing this deliberately, and that's going to be machshir the anovim, that's called yayin as far as one of the machshirim is concerned. Now they made a gzera on every case of botzer, whenever he is harvesting the grapes, then it should be muksha, the grapes should be muksha l'kabel tuma. Hence you have to take them into kelim tahorim. Atu, because of a case where he would deliberately squeeze out the juices from the grapes. And all that he's doing to make sure that the grapes are ripe on the vines, ready to be harvested. V'idach, now we have another gzera that we have to add to the list of 18. And we're going to turn now to Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. And this is a statement which is brought down anonymously in the name of Tavi Rishba. Now the word Rishba, Rashi identifies as someone who's a Pores Mitsudos, Lotsu Chayaviyov. In other words, he's a hunter. And he puts out these traps. Anyway, his name is Tavi. Amar Shmuel, and he said in the name of Shmuel, Af Gidulei Truma even in the case of Gidulei Truma, which means he took Truma and he planted it, and now the Truma is producing, even that is included in the Gzeros of Yudches Dvarim, and has the same status as Truma and Bo Bayom Gozer. Now, there's a little bit of an ambiguity over here, because in a case of Gidulei Truma, why should the din be any different than Truma itself? That there was a gzera to equate Gidulei Truma with Truma. What's that all about? My taima, Amruchanina gzera mishum Truma tahora biyad Yisrael. Now, when he plants this Truma, we have a situation called Zaro Kala. Kala Chof Laman Hei. It means that there's nothing left to the original Truma. It's now deep down in the ground. And therefore, although Truma itself obviously is also Lazarim and has Kedushas Truma, in the case of Gidulei Truma, they're Chulin Gemurim. And there's no need for him to be Mafris Trumas and Maisras from the Gidulei Truma. And what's going to happen here is that the Chacham are going to make a gzera, and they're going to consider Gidulei Truma as Truma itself, which means it's Asur Li Zarim. And the Gemara is saying in the name of Rav Chanina that why did they make such a gzera? Because of Truma Tahora B'Yad Yisrael. Let's say the Yisrael is holding on to Truma. He was Mafresh Truma. He somehow is hesitating. He's inhibited about delivering the Truma to a Kohen. So you know what? He decides, let me take this Truma, and I'll be Mavatal at Mitar's Truma. I'll simply plant it in the ground. And the Gidulei Truma will probably be Mutter, as we said before, that Gidulei Truma should be Mutter because of Zara Kola. So he's got this grandiose plan. Instead of having to deliver all this Truma to the Kohen, what he's going to do is he's going to plant it on the ground. He has Enov Tzara Militno LeKohen. He's too stingy to give it to the Kohen, so he comes to plant it and be Mavatel Mitaras Truma. And then when there's Gidulim, he'll benefit from the Gidulim. So he's completely circumvented the Yichi of Truma. And the Chacham made a Gzera that even that which grows from Truma should also be Truma. And Lo Ho'ilu Masav, he didn't gain anything. And we're back to the assumption that he has to be Mafresh Truma. So here was his ploy to circumvent the laws of Truma by planting the Truma, and we're going to foil his plans. So Rava asks the fine Kasha, E. If you're telling me that Klal Yisrael or some members of Klal Yisrael are so chosher that we suspect them of coming to take Truma, being Mavatal at Truma, because, as we said before, Enom Tsara Militein LeKohen, they're too stingy to give it away to the Kohen, is Afrushi Namilo Lifreshu, then we didn't need at all to be Mafresh, Lafresh Zos. Why? Because Mikra Din, they could patter up all the kri with one afrasha of chita achas. Again, the logic of Rava is that if we're going to be choshesh, that someone's going to take truma and be mavatal the truma by planting it, then, you know what? He's not going to be mafresh truma at all. And mikra din, he could patter himself up from truma by giving a chita achas. So yes, there's no minimum shear. And we're going to see that in the member of Shmuel. So therefore, Mikavon she'efshal lemevad, it's possible that he can take this kri and be mafresh chita achas, kid Shmuel. Shmuel says that midoraisa chita achas potersa kri, for loka of it, they didn't do that. Rather, they were mafresh kishir shekavu chachamim. Is hamnuye mehemne? They should be believed. They're not choshed to withhold the truma on that day, and therefore there should be no need for gzera. Meaning, basically what Rav is saying is that if you can tell me that chashud, and they'll completely undermine the law of truma, then they won't even be mafresh to begin with. So what did you gain by this? And kevod the efshel mevad, since they could be masaking the kri very easily by a freshes klita achas, that's exactly what they're going to do. Veloka of it. But that's not what happened. They were mafresh kishir shekavu chachamim. And therefore, heimune mehemne, certainly they should be believed. They're not chashud to withholding truma from someone with their yadayim. There's no reason to institute any gzera for such a person or such a group. When the Gemara says lo ka'ovid, it means they didn't take advantage of Shmuel. They are mafish a full shear that chachamim were misakin, whether it's 2% with 1/40, 1/50, 1/60, but they were mafresh kidasu kidin with a shear of hafrasha. Is therefore enumne hemne, certainly should be believed. They're not chashud. We don't suspect them to be holding on to the truma in their dying, and therefore there's no reason to make this gzera. The whole gzera seems to be meaningless when you're making a gzera because he's going to be ma'akiv the truma. And then maybe he'll plant it on the ground. I mean, he was mafresh more than a chita achas of Shmuel, which is the shear of Hafrashas Truma Doraisa. He's obviously, you know, very zealous and very excited about being Mekai the Mitzvah of Hafrashas Truma Kedasu Kedin, the way the Chachamim set it up. And he's going to part with a major chunk and a percentage of his produce. So now you're going to tell me that he's not believed, that he's choshed to be makiv the truma? Ella, but rather, says the Gemara, gzeira mishum truma tmeya biad kohen. What happens in a case where the kohen has truma tmeya? Let's say he received truma, and then some sheretz fell on the truma, and it's osur achila. So what is the kohen going to do in this case? The Gemara says, yesh lachush, maybe we should be afraid, dilma mashila gabei. He's going to hold on to this truma tmeya because he's going to wait until his man of zriya, until the planting season. He's going to be zorea, and then he'll eat the gedulim. The ashili day takola, and during this period of time, which he's delaying, he's going to chashol make a takola, and he's going to eat it. And keep in mind, it's truma tmeya; you're not allowed to eat it. So therefore, the chacham made a gzera on gedulim that there should be a shem harishon, that the original name should apply to the gidulim. So therefore, if he plants truma tmeya, the gidulim will be osur b'achila, not only to Kohanim, but also to Yisrael, midin truma tmeya. Therefore, they're not going to come to make any equations, because an equation just simply is irrelevant. Shlo yovo la shosa, kevin shlo yo ilu masav. Once he sees with regard to the gzera that he doesn't gain anything by postponing, and we're worried about takola, that if he postpones it, he may come to eat truma tmeya. So he made a gzera on the gidulim that they should be ashamed, they should have the original name. And now if he takes truma tmeya and he plants truma tmeya, the gedulim become asurim v'achila, and that's also a kohanim kedin truma tmeya. So therefore, in order not to encourage him lashoso, they told him that lo yo ilu masav. Now let's just mention in closing the Mishnah in the ninth parak of Trumos that codifies the laws of Gidule Truma Tmeya. And it means that even if the people were already Tahorim and they cannot be Mitame Acherim, but nevertheless Asur Mein Bachila Gam Im Zoram Kala. Okay, then we'll stop here. And we're very, very close to the end of the sugi of the Yud Ches Dvarim, so we'll be able to make a sort of a siyum and an overview of the Yud Ches Dvarim in the next shiur. So where are we holding? We're up to Ve'idach Amar Rabbi Chiya. which is approximately, I would say, 11, 12 lines down from the top.